Warning, you are about to listen to a life-changing session of the Think and Grow Rich Global Mastermind podcast. Any mind-blowing income, health, happiness, and otherwise earth-shattering testimonials of total transformation are not meant to serve as a guarantee of what will happen in your life as you continue to plug into this podcast. Rather, they're meant to give you an idea of what's possible. Bear in mind, results are not guaranteed, they are earned. Be forewarned, common side effects of listening to this podcast may include increased mental alertness, random and unexplained feelings of joy, a crystal clear sense of purpose in life, spontaneous outbursts of laughter, obscene amounts of new and exciting monetary deposits, and other ridiculously awesome symptoms of living a purpose-filled life. Please enjoy the show.
Take just a second to ask yourself, what do you want out of life? Are you wanting deeper relationships? Are you wanting more travel? Are you wanting to feel secure or peaceful? Are you wanting to leave a mark on the world? Then in that case, as you think about the things you most want to accomplish, the things you most want to experience, it's important to work on your relationship with money because building wealth can help you do almost all of those things. Henry David Thoreau said, wealth is simply the ability to fully experience life. And isn't that sweet? What's up, moneymakers? This is Mahara Tucker in Atlanta, Georgia, and you're on the Think and Grow Rich call. Our talented host, Mr. Paul Hutchings, will not be with us today, but we have a special guest host lined up, and we're going to kick off the call in just a few minutes. For now, let's get the intros done. Tell us your name and where you're calling in from.
Good morning, Mahara and Think and Grow Rich family. It is Larry and Wendy, McKinney, Texas.
Hello, Larry and Wendy. Good morning.
Good morning, Mahara. This is Ruth from the Bahamas. Good morning to everybody.
Hello, Ruth in the Bahamas, and good morning, Adele.
Good morning, sweetie.
Good morning, Think and Grow Rich family, and Mahara, welcome aboard.
Good morning.
This is Billy.
Hey, Billy and Billy. What's going on?
Yes, darling.
Good morning, Mahara. This is Nicole from North Carolina.
Hey, Nicole. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Morning, Mahara. Andre from Jacksonville.
Hey, Andre. Good morning and welcome.
Appreciate it.
Good morning, Tony the Man of Steel here.
Hey, Tony. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to hear your voice.
Great to be here.
Good morning, Mahara. Charity from Bronx, New York. How you doing? It's fabulous Friday.
Hey, Charity. It is fabulous indeed. I'm doing great.
Are you a cashier?
Have a blessed weekend.
Good morning, Mahara. Good morning, Think and Grow Rich family. This is Amy in Las Vegas.
Amy, how many people on this line need a ray of sunshine right now? Good morning.
Good morning, Mahara. Think and Grow Rich family, Amy, and everybody. How you doing this Friday? Waiting for the storm.
Elizabeth, I'm doing good.
Good morning, Elizabeth.
Hey.
Good morning, Elizabeth. Good morning, Amy. Good morning, Mahara. This is Lisa Scott.
Hey, Lisa.
What's up, family? Just here in Chicago. What's going on, baby? What's going on, baby? How you doing, girl?
How's everything going well on Friday?
Happy Freedom Friday!
Freedom! Yeah.
Friday!
It's a party up to this joint!
Happy Freedom Friday!
Let's rock and roll!
Make it things happen!
Did you get that text from my phone to send your kiss? I was like, oh, hell no, that was my girlfriend's daughter that I was playing on my phone. And I was like, that's all I need now. It's for Julia to think anything. Oh, my God.
It would be very nice if you do the real thing.
Good morning, Mahara. It's Larry from Oregon.
Pig, you know,
hey,
Larry.
Good morning,
Arnie in Ohio.
Let's see what Julia thinks about that.
Hey, Arnie,
Good morning, everyone. This is Isabel, Florida.
Hi, Isabel. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Jeff in Oklahoma. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, and welcome to the call. We're so glad you're here.
Hey, good morning. This is Belle in Florida. How are
Hi,
you guys
Belle.
Going
good back? Morning, love. Welcome.
Thank you. Bye. I'm sorry.
Good morning,
this is Carol in Arizona.
Hey, Carol. Good morning.
Good morning, Lahara. Larry Coach Boston.
Hey, Larry Coach. Great to hear your voice this morning.
I'm available on any Friday, but my coordinate was Sue's 980. That's the thing that you guys could get a whole day in there.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning, Lahara. It's Ken in California.
Good morning, Ken.
Oh, there's that noise again.
Power.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Mahara Tucker, and I'm your surprise guest host this morning. Welcome to the Think and Grow Rich call. So glad you're here, and so glad I've been honored with the opportunity to speak with you guys today and help us hold the call together. Our fearless leader is taking a much-needed break, and we're going to plow forward studying these wealth principles, helping each other do the things we do. You know, I've been on this call a very long time now. I can't say exactly, but I think in excess of 4 years maybe. And one of my great people have regrets. One of the things I look back and I'm happiest about doing is to make the decision to work on my mindset and to connect with powerful entrepreneurs every weekday, on and on, all the time. Because we get these little nuggets of wisdom. We get this little new insight every time we get together on this call. We lift each other up. We get more focused for the day. And over time, you guys, there's this impact that compounds. It does. It compounds over time, and we become more powerful and more insightful. And you really never know which thing is going to impact you the most. You never know who's going to come out on the mastermind and say something that really changes your life or causes you to make a powerful new decision. So congratulations for making the decision to be on this call, especially I honor you troopers who show up day after day after day, being in the game of improving yourself, developing your imagination, strengthening your ideas about money, and also being a gift to the community. Thanks for being here, and let's talk about what we're going to do today. I got some weird, kind of interesting stuff for us to cover as we talk about the habit of saving money and getting into a little bit of our relationship with money. So if you're excited to learn more about saving money, to get your mind right, to get your habits right, to make a healthy, wealthy, powerful future, let's kick it off by talking into the line, by lifting each other up right about now. That gets my blood going every morning, guys. Thank you for that. How cool is it? So one of the things that I wanted to talk about today was a little bit of an experience of how I've learned about money and how many highs and lows I've had. And some of those things that maybe just might be a little nugget that can impact your life. I was raised by two entrepreneurs. We've had several family businesses. I worked in them from the time I was young. I've always had brainstorms about how something can be monetized and what makes money flow. But I've also spent a lot of my years studying spiritual principles of life, studying with Indian chiefs and shamans and different people that maybe had a deeper or a different way of looking at money. So one of my favorite definitions of money is that it's just the exchange of energy. Money is nothing more really than the exchange of energy. And if you think about what do you have that's worth bartering, right? A bricklayer can offer to build you a wall. A chef can offer to cook you a meal. What is it that you're bringing to the universe? What is it that you're bringing to the planet? And it might not always be the thing you think it is. Maybe you're locked into the thought that you're an architect when really you're a counselor at heart and your friends come to you for a reason. Maybe you think you're a business tycoon and at the end of the day, you're kind of like an undiscovered minister to the people, right? Each of us has to come to terms with what we have that is worth something to another. And as you know, how hard you work doesn't always equate to how much money you make, or else people who lay asphalt would be millionaires, right? So how can we get to where our value is increased? Does it reach more people? Or do we tweak what we already know to somehow make it even more valuable for others? My mom is this kind of crazy contradiction in more ways than one, but she was a business lady in a very powerful position back when that was not a common thing. So she really had a lot to prove in the marketplace. She was an executive with Ford Motor Company, and I've never forgotten some of the extravagant things she's done in her life and some of the frugal things she's done in her life. And for years, I would kind of like, as children do, I would diss her in my mind. I'd be like, she doesn't get it, you know? She's so out of touch. You know, she just bought this $40,000 bracelet. That's so stupid. And here I am, you know, I can't figure out this or I can't figure out that. And I was going through, I guess, the recklessness of youth. I had some things that I needed to learn about value, about humility, about discipline. And one day, I was finally asking her about it. Like, how can you talk about being frugal or being good with money, Mom, when you've got this $40,000 trinket, you know? And she just turned to me so fast, and she's like, oh, don't you ever kid yourself. She's like, this is nothing but a frivolous bank account right here, because I bought these diamonds wholesale for about 60, maybe 55% of what they're worth. And I had this up-and-coming designer put them together in a bracelet the way I envisioned it for pennies on the dollar. And she's like, don't you ever forget that I could convert this within a week to more than I paid for it. So the way I look at it is I'm safekeeping these diamonds right now. I'm wearing them on my arm. I'm enjoying them. But don't forget the fact that I can trade them in and get more money than I invested to begin with. And I just kind of went, whoa. So she had a method to her madness. It's not, yes, she indulged herself. I mean, there's no doubt about it that a $40,000 piece of jewelry is what some people would consider indulgence. But the funny part is that she had a thought in her mind. She wasn't just throwing money away. She was reallocating it and leaving it in a liquid form that she could still control the conversion of, should she choose to do that. So that's a really powerful lesson. If you think about the fact that eventually you may want, you know, as you make more money, there may be things you decide to indulge in. But Paul was saying the other day, when you drive a new car off the lot, it loses, what, a third of its value or something. But there's nothing that says you can't find a Maserati at an auction and maybe buy it for less than 40 cents on the dollar, which means that you probably could turn around, drive it for a year, and sell it for more than you paid for it. There are ways to think about money creatively that maybe you've never used before. And if these ideas are big, like Maseratis and diamonds, I want to share with you a smaller, more humble one, because one day I was just hanging out with my mom in her very luxurious bathroom, And I was like, oh, there's these little soap shavings. You know, I'm going to clean off this counter and throw them away. And she came up behind me, and she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm clearing this stuff off, and I'm throwing it away. And she's like, no, you're not. And I'm like, I'm not? And she's like, no. Come here, I want to show you something. And she sat down with me on the corner of this fancy tub, right? And she's like, this is triple mill French soap. And you might think that it's an indulgence for me to buy it, but it's one of the few luxuries that I craved all my life when I was a little girl and I didn't have much money. And she said, I want to show you something that we used to do after the Depression, right? People didn't have the things they needed, guys. And she's like, here's these five little shavings, and look, I have like six over here in this drawer. Now, this is soap that's probably $10 a bar, okay? But the hilarious thing is that she moistened her hands, and she began to form these little shavings of soap. And she showed me how she could form this beautiful, perfectly new-looking little full bar of soap out of the shavings that I would throw away and not think twice about. And she's like, there's no reason to waste something that is this perfect, that smells this good, that has this much quality. If you're going to spend the money on something that means that much to you, get every bit of the worth out of it. So make sure you remember that, Mahara. And I just kind of left scratching my head saying she really is a contradiction in terms, but she did make me aware that money is an exchange of energy. And part of mastering that game is to know that even when you decide to give in to your desires, your, you know, maybe frivolous things that you want, there are still ways to do that wisely. There are still ways to take your wildest dreams. Let's say you plan some elaborate European vacation. Well, could you put together a tour and have some people join you, and everyone pay a lump price, and maybe you end up getting it for half price. Or maybe you go for free because you become the tour guide. It's all about getting your mind in the mode of looking for deals and thinking in creative ways of how can I move my financial position forward? How can I make this profitable? How can I make this cost less? How can I save money? The more aware we become of those thoughts on a day-to-day basis, the wealthier we're going to be. So one of the things we do on this call is we put our heads together and we do our definite purpose every day. Is there somebody on the line? I'll give you a minute to kind of pull it together. Is there somebody on the line that can star six and take us through our focus statement so we can make a really
I would love
vow?
To.
Is that Michael?
I'm here. It is.
Okay.
May I
help
please?
Help us focus on getting wealthy, lady.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. I'm so happy to be here. It's just a fantastic day. So my major definite purpose is that by the first day of, I will have in my possession abundance, which will come to me in various amounts from time to time during the interim. In exchange for this abundance, I will give the most efficient service of which I am capable, rendering the fullest, possible quality and the best possible quantity of service in the capacity of helping others achieve their goals and so forth. I believe that I will have this abundance in my possession. My faith is so strong, I can now see it. I can now see this before my eyes. I can touch it with my hands. It is now awaiting transfer to me at the time and in the proportion that I deliver the service I intend to render for it. I'm awaiting a plan to accumulate this abundance, and I will follow that plan when it is received. The self-confidence formula is, first, I know that I have the ability to achieve the object of my definite purpose in life. Therefore, I demand of myself persistent, continuous action toward its attainment, and I here and now promise to render such action. Second, I realize the dominating thoughts of my mind will eventually reproduce themselves in outward physical action and gradually transform themselves into physical reality. Therefore, I will concentrate my thoughts for 30 minutes daily or more upon the task of thinking of the person I intend to become. thereby creating in my mind a clear mental picture of that person. Third, I know through the principle of autosuggestion, any desire that I persistently hold in my mind will eventually seek expression through some practical means of attaining the object back of it. Therefore, I will devote 10 minutes daily to demanding of myself the development of self-confidence. Fourth, I've clearly written down a description of my definite chief aim in life, and I will never stop trying until I have developed sufficient self-confidence for its attainment. Fifth, I fully realize that no wealth or position can long endure unless built upon truth and justice. Therefore, I will engage in no transaction which does not benefit all whom it affects. I will succeed by attracting to myself the forces I wish to use and the cooperation of other people. I will induce others to serve me because of my willingness to serve others. Mm-hmm. I will eliminate hatred, envy, jealousy, selfishness, cynicism by developing love for all humanity, because I know that a negative attitude toward others can never bring me success. I will cause others to believe in me because I will believe in them and in myself. I will sign my name to this formula, commit it to memory, and repeat it aloud once a day with full faith that it will gradually influence my thoughts and actions so that I will become a self-reliant and successful person. I am connected to everything in the universe, and everything in the universe is connected to me. And just the other day, I found a quote in the Native American website, and it's from Chief Seattle, and he says, "All things share the same breath, the beast, the tree, the man. The air shares its spirit with all the life it supports." Chief Seattle. Thank you, guys. I'm so happy to be here.
Wow,
part of
that
y'all's
was
life.
Awesome.
Thank you, thank
guys,
you.
Guys, let's share our gratitude with Michael Lynn. That was so awesome.
Thank you, Michael Lynn.
Wow, that was powerful. I really appreciate that. So today we are thinking about how to improve our relationship with money. Are you in judgment of it? Are you in fear of it? Can you see your own self-image being comfortable with more? And if you share breath with all of life, if you made a personal decision to contribute more of whatever your gift is, do you think that more abundance might just automatically find its way into your life? With those thoughts in mind, we're going to jump into the lesson. We're in the Law of Success. I'm going to tell you two different kinds of pages because I get confused sometimes. In the ebook copy, we're on page 338 of 1170. Hang on a second. And we're also on page 65, if you're looking at the book copy. And here we go. The late J.P. Morgan once said he would rather loan $1 million to a man of sound character who had formed the habit of saving money than he would $1,000 to a man without character who was a spendthrift. Generally speaking, this is the attitude which the world takes toward all men who save money. It often happens that a small savings account of no more than $200 or $300 is sufficient to start one on the highway to financial independence. A few years ago, a young inventor invented a household article which was unique and practical. He was handicapped, as inventors so often are, because he did not have the money to market his invention. Moreover, not having formed the savings habit, he found it impossible to borrow money through banking sources. His roommate was a young machinist who had saved $200. He came to the inventor's aid with this small sum of money and had enough of the articles manufactured to give them a start. They went out and sold from house to house, the first supply, then came back and had another supply made up, and so on, until they had accumulated, thanks to the thrift and savings ability of the roommate, a capital of $1,000. With this, plus some credit they secured, they bought the tools for manufacturing their own product. The young machinist sold his half interest in the business 6 years later for $250,000. Wow, that was a lot back then. He never would have handled this much money during his entire life had he not formed the habit of saving, which enabled him to come to the rescue of his inventor friend. This case might be multiplied 1,000 times with but slight variation as to the details, as it is fairly descriptive of the beginning of many great fortunes that have been made and are now in the making in the United States. It may seem like a sad and cruel fact, but it is a fact nonetheless that if you have no money, if you have not developed the habit of saving, you're out of luck as far as availing yourself of the opportunity to make money is concerned. It can do no harm to repeat. In fact, it should be repeated over and over again that the real start of nearly all fortune, whether great or small, is the formation of the habit of saving money. Get this basic principle firmly founded in your mind, and you will be well on the road toward financial independence. It is a sad sight to see a man well along in years who has sentenced himself to the wearisome treadmill of hard labor all the days of his life because he's neglected forming the habit of saving money. Yet there are millions of such living men in the United States alone today. The greatest thing in life is freedom. Freedom. There can be no real freedom without a reasonable degree of financial independence. It is a terrible thing to be compelled to be at a certain place, at a certain task, perhaps even a task which one does not like, for a certain number of hours every working day of the week for a whole lifetime. In some ways, this is the same as being in prison, since one's choice of action is always limited. It's really no better than being in prison with the privilege of a trustee, and in some ways, it's even worse, because the man who is imprisoned has at least escaped the responsibility of providing a place to sleep, something to eat, and clothes to wear. The only hope of escape from this lifelong toil, which curtails freedom, is to form the habit of saving money, and then to live up to that habit, no matter how much sacrifice it may require. There is no other way out for millions of people, unless you're one of the rare exceptions. This lesson and all these statements of fact are meant for you, and they apply to you. Neither a borrower nor a lender be, for loan oft loses both itself and friend, and borrowing dulls the edge of husbandry. This above all, to thine own self be true, and it must follow as the night the day. Thou canst not be false to any man. And that is Shakespeare. So guys, what do you think when you start talking about changing your relationship with money and giving saving the important place it deserves? It's not glamorous. It's not necessarily easy to do. But isn't it true that if one guy made $250,000, not because he had the great idea, he supplied the capital, and that didn't come from brilliance, that came from discipline, and yet he shared in the profits. I will touch on something that is incredibly personal for me, because I had several investors offer to help me expand my wellness center that I owned in Florida, and I was surprised by the money I was generating. I was surprised by how fast the idea was taken off. I had people who wanted to franchise my idea. It was definitely on its way up, let me put it that way. And as I entertained the thought of expanding, I did not yet understand the risk of taking on a partner, of allowing anyone else to have any say-so. I didn't understand that other people's motives might not be to help me expand, preserve, and protect the business. I was thinking, well, if somebody's money's invested, surely they're going to be very devoted to seeing me do well. But the fact of the matter is, at the end of the day, it was really a competitor posing as an investor that wanted to see me not do well, that wanted to move me out of the marketplace because they knew that I was getting the lion's share. And the reason I was getting the lion's share is because it was my passion, because helping people means a lot to me, because I would stay later and show up earlier. Nobody was going to do better than me because nobody in that town cared more than I do. And when I spoke to this one guy who was kind of a financial advisor for me, he was one of my clients, but he also bought and sold skyscrapers for a living. So you can imagine that he's pretty good with money. And one of the things he said to me was, he's like, you can do this deal and you're going to have some lockdown real estate. So you're going to have an asset that, you know, no matter what happens to the business, you'll have that there, which is converting iffy money into definite money. However, he said, never forget this piece of advice. You make your own gravy. And I was like, what does that mean? And he was like, she wants to invest with you because she doesn't know how to make her own gravy. She's wanting to buy into your idea to learn how you do things because she didn't build it from nothing. So chances are she'll lose money anyway. And I just thought that was a hilarious Southern kind of piece of advice. If you make your own gravy, Suge, if you make your own gravy, you're good. You create money wherever you are because you create value wherever you are. So let's get into the mastermind portion of the call. I'm dying to hear what you guys have to say about this. It's not a company-specific call, so please no leader names, company names, system names, unless, of course, they're on this call. And we always appreciate brevity and relevance in your comments. Who's going to kick off the mastermind? Star 6, come on out.
Hi, Mahara. It's Robin Hack.
Hey, Robin Hack. How are you?
Good. I'm great. Well, good morning, everyone, family. I just wanted to say, Mahara, at the beginning where you spoke on, you know, being on this call for so long and how it, you know, just being a part of a mastermind group like this is so life-changing. And I got to say, I feel the same way because I've been on it that long as well. And one thing I just feel that's just a little tidbits, like you said, that you get from people. And what it's changed my life so much in the fact that people have mentioned books over the years, and I always go and buy those books. And I can't tell you how that's changed my life, just reading and just staying focused every day on that, you know, the 30-30-30 that we talk about, or Paul, we talked about it a couple years ago, I think it was, where 30 minutes of, you know, personal development, 30 minutes of exercise, 30 minutes of, say, meditation, 30 minutes of journaling. So just it's so important to be on here and just hearing the mastermind and being on the replays if you can't be on the live call. So I just can't thank everyone enough for everyone that steps out and shares those little tidbits that changes people's lives. Thank you.
Hey, I appreciate you, Robin, and I could not agree more. There's something about being all by yourself and feeling like you're exercising by yourself, you're saving by yourself, you're blogging by yourself, you're trying to do all these things to find your greatness, and just knowing that there's all these other entrepreneurs out there in the same battle, you know, it does. It lifts me up all the time, and I appreciate you sharing that. Star 6, come on out and join us.
Hey,
is that Larry Coach?
Yeah, but there was somebody else. Go first.
Who was that?
I just want to say, dude, you guys put out a lot of good little nuggets today, and you're doing a very good job of taking place in Fort Hutchings.
Well, those are some big shoes to fill, but I appreciate it so much, Billy.
So, Larry, here. So, Mahira.
I'm going to clear the line for you real quick.
Okay.
Larry Coates, come on out.
I'm back, Mahira.
Hey.
Okay, so first of all, Robin, that was great about the book, and know that readers are leaders. So that's a tip that I learned a long time ago when I was in a different MLM, and I've taken that to heart. It's been a key word for me for years and years now. Anyways, the other thing I wanted to share, and I've shared this maybe once before, I think, in this group, but I'm sure there's people here that haven't heard it. So this is, I think it's an important lesson. I was taught at a very early age to save because of my grandparents. My grandmother in particular would make sure that I had a savings account set up, and she would always encourage me to put money into it. And I did that pretty consistently. And about the time I was in high school, I was able to take some flying lessons because of that. But then also what happened to me, and this is the important part of us of the lesson, for us who are parents, my parents got into a position where they were in business for themselves, and the business wasn't doing all that well, and my parents had some drinking problems and all of that. And it just all, like, snowballed on them, and they ended up not ever having enough capital to really run the household and the business at the same time. And they ended up taking all of my savings out and using it to run the household. And while that was, I understood as an adult why that was so critical and so necessary. What I learned from that was that it doesn't pay to save because you never, when you need it, it's not going to be there. So we got to make sure that the lessons that we teach our kids, aren't those kinds of lessons that, it doesn't really pay to save. We need to be teaching our kids from day one that it's an important part, and they need to see that in our lives so that we reflect that as well. And here I am, I'm age 67, and it's just within the last couple of years that I've really taken to heart the message of how important it is to be saving. So I've gone through most of my life spending as a spender, and even now I still am more a spender, but I do have to say that what I spend on is investing in myself, in buying the tools I need to run my business. And I might make some bad decisions, but at least I know that what I'm doing is investing in me. Not perfect at it, but getting better at it. And I know that as my business starts to really manifest itself, that's going to be the highest priority is putting money, socking money away, because that's why I'm doing this, because I don't have enough for a decent retirement. So that's all I have to say, Mahira. Back to you.
Hey, thank you for sharing that. And I want to add something to that thought, because it is not a justification. It isn't a good one. If you say, okay, at least if I spend all my money, I'm spending it on something that will improve me. That's awesome. It is always awesome to invest in your education. But let's just say you've got, let's make it easy. Let's just say you've got $1,000. If you save $200 of that and spend $800 on your education, then it's cool because you've still made the habit of saving. If you spend the whole $1,000 and tell yourself you're going to save some other time, that other time will never, ever, ever, ever happen. So the whole secret is to be able to tell yourself, I don't have $1,000. I have $750, and that's it. And the lesson of somebody else needing access to your savings account, y'all might think this is mean, but one of my pieces of advice is to always have some savings that the spenders in your life don't know about, okay? There's nothing, like you stick it somewhere, you have it set aside, and nobody knows about it but you. And if you get a flat tire, you don't go strip that savings account. You cope with your problems as though you didn't have that savings, because the savings is the important part, okay? Having a cushion, having the power. Like if one of your kids gets so sick that you need $1,000 to save their life, okay? If something truly, you know, if the government shut down or something weird happened, you need to have a reserve that nobody knows about, that nobody's going to strip away from you. The very fact that you are mentally making a decision to cushion yourself against life's ups and downs and pretend as though it's not there. Don't run to that savings every time you have a problem. How would you solve that problem if the money wasn't there? You would find a way. If, you know, we had a refrigerator go out, and it's like, oh, gosh, well, I need to go take this $800 and get a new fridge. No, I don't. I need to act like I don't have any money. What would I do? Would I? Well, I'd probably get on Craigslist and try to find a used one. Okay, then do that, and don't spend all your money. So it's just a mindset that your savings is not just something that's in a holding pattern until you can spend it. It really is to have it there, to accumulate it there, because it is money that hasn't been converted, right? It's money that you still have the freedom to move it into any area of your life that you want. What do you guys think about
that? Yeah, Mahara, you know, yesterday I agree with you totally on that, like 200 out of 1,000, because that's exactly what I said yesterday, was that we wanted, I shared about T. Harv Eker's book, Millionaire Mindset, having a millionaire mindset. And that's one of the things that they do. The first thing you do is you put 20% in your financial freedom account and you never touch that account.
So yes.
I'm in total agreement with you. And if you haven't read that book, that's a great book. The Secrets of the Millionaire Mindset by T. Harv Eker.
Yes, that's an excellent book. And it is important, guys, for us to get it in our minds that it's not, you're not putting it in savings so you can afford a big screen TV or a trip to Hawaii. That you can make a separate savings account for that. You can make a separate savings stash for that. But the savings is there to cushion you from the hardships of life and also for investing, so that when some amazing opportunity comes that maybe you can buy a house for 50 cents on the dollar, you're positioned well because you have savings. Star 6, who's next? Who's brave enough to talk about savings? What are your highs and lows with it?
Hey, Mahara, just one other thought on what you just said there. And that is, that's how, by having that money set aside that you can take, you know, advantage of 50 cents on the dollar, that's how Warren Buffett makes all his money. He always buys in down times because the buying is right. And he has the money because he put it aside.
Check that. That's how people who understand money do it. Like, you may see them in a Porsche, but maybe they paid half price because they like money. They attract more money. They save money. And I think that, I mean, honestly, guys, I think when you have a respect for money in your vibration, I'm serious when I say this, okay? You may not completely understand it, but the way you think about something, the vibration that you emanate about something, literally how you face your bills inside your wallet matters. Do you respect money or do you just throw it around like it's nothing? Think about that. Star 6, come on out.
Arnita.
Hey, Arnita.
Hi. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. So glad you're here. So glad I'm here. I have a challenge. A long time ago, I don't know why, but it came to me to take one day, just one day, any day, usually the day that seems like it might be happening, that you don't spend any money. And when I say that, I mean money out of your pocket. No money transferring from your hand to somebody else for 24 hours. Very, very hard to do. One day out of the week. That's my challenge.
I love that challenge, and I don't think it's hard to do, but maybe some people do think it's hard to do. That's a great awareness tool, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Also, keeping a diary, log in your money one day a week would make you aware of where it's going and why. Thanks for sharing that, Arnita.
You're welcome.
Hey, Mahara, it's Chanel in California. Hi, Chanel. How are
Hi,
you?
How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good. Awesome. Good morning, Think and Grow Rich family. I love how you said, everywhere you go, I don't know what quote you said, but you said something around or along the lines of, there's money everywhere you go because if you're adding value everywhere you go. What was that quote?
I don't know.
Okay, you said something. I don't know. I think it's something that you made up. But anyhow, I thought it was awesome because that's true. Everywhere, if you're adding value, everywhere there is money, everywhere there's opportunity, everywhere when you're adding value. But on, along the lines of what we're talking about here, I love the fact that you said, you know, you tell yourself that you have like $700 instead of $1,000 because that's literally the only way that I've ever been able to save any kind of money. And also, one of the things that I liked how Arnita was just talking about, or how you were talking about like writing it down at one day a week. One thing that Darren Hardy recommends in the compound effect is to, you know, get a little small notebook and write down every time you spend money. So that way you're actually aware of it and it makes you really not want to spend it because you don't want to have to pull out that notebook. So I hope that helps. I love you guys. Thanks.
That does help, Chanel. Thank you for sharing that. It makes me think about, I got a call from well, I set up an IRA for somebody, and the funny thing is it was like, no, I don't think you understand. The company only matches 3%. And it's like, that doesn't mean that you only have to take 3% out of your check, you know? What I set it up to do was contribute 10% from his check, and then if his company wants to match it 3%, that's cool. So now 13% of every weekly earning disappears before he can touch it and mess it up, right? And then if you have that saving compounded with maybe a little savings account for a special trip, or maybe you save for things you want to do, that's when you start to allocate your money wisely. So yes, if you have to tell yourself it's not there, if you have to get it automatically transferred, if you have to move it into some place where it's a pain in the butt to get to it, whatever it takes to get you there, do it. Star 6, join in the conversation.
Hi, this is Thelma.
Hey, Thelma.
Hi. So what you said now just kind of reminded me of something that, you know, we used to do back home in Nigeria when I lived in Nigeria. You know, I used to work in a bank, and one of the ways that we would kind of save money, myself and friends, some of my friends and colleagues, you know, a group of people will come together, like, say, 10 or 12 people who probably earn about the same, you know, we're in the same role, and so we earn about the same amount of money. And so what we would agree to do is every month, everybody will put in a specific amount of money. And so for that first month, it will go to one person. For the second month, it will go to another person. For the third month, it will go to another person. So I always chose to be like the last person to receive, you know, so that at the end of the, you know, maybe 10 months or 12 months, depending on how many of us are in the group, you know, when I receive that amount of money, I would put it in my savings account. So that way it's not available to me throughout the year, but I'm still putting the money aside. And so at the end, I have this bulk of money and then I just put that away. You know, and for me, that was an easier way for me to develop that habit of putting aside a specific amount of money, because you can't not make your contribution if everybody else is making your contribution. So there's an accountability system in place that kind of makes you realize in the back of your mind, this is not your money, it's somebody else's money until it's your money, you know. And that just reminded me of that. But that's another good way to, you know, form that habit of saving if you have a group of, you know, people that you can trust and do something like that with. I just thought I'd share that.
That's a cool thought. That's a cool idea. And always, if you can delay spending, delay. If you can put yourself off even a week or two, like, that's longer that money stays with you, you know? I mean, seriously, the more, like, so we talk about reticulator in NLP. We talk about what you notice. If you bought a green Honda, then for the next week, you see green Hondas everywhere because you're noticing them. Frogs obviously notice flies, right? Because they're always looking for flies. So if you're going to become like a tycoon energetically, if you're going to create wealth from the inside out, you begin to look for opportunity. You begin to look for places to save. You begin to notice these little tricks you can do. Star 6, who else is jumping in?
Hey, Mahara, this is Andre from Jacksonville.
Hey, Andre, what's going on?
Well, since we're still talking about money, this is a little bit outside of savings, but I remember reading one of his Rich Dad series of books, Robert Kiyosaki. It's more like a challenge of himself that he wanted to buy a Porsche. And his wife had challenged him, Kim, said, all right, if you want your Porsche, you have to find an asset. And he went to go find a real estate, you know, which he loves to do, is always real estate. And not only did he use that asset to pay for his Porsche, he kept both the Porsche and the asset. So, again, it's a little bit different from savings, but it's more like a challenge toward yourself as far as, like, if you really want something, why not go out and try to find an asset to pay for that? And then you can keep both whatever you want and the asset. So that's just what I wanted to share.
Andre, that is so on point, because it is about saving money, because by going through an asset, he saved that becoming a liability. He managed to produce, he made his own gravy, should. He produced that Porsche out of nothing. He made something happen in a transaction, and that's how people learn to magically just create money. That's so exciting. Think about that. How can you wheel and deal in your mind to make your home cost less, to get a new car without really paying for it, to have a vacation home and maybe split the cost four ways and put some renters in there once a month, and somehow it's a wash and it didn't cost you anything. Excellent share. Thanks for that, Andre. I'm going to clear the lines. You guys stay with me 1 second. Star 6, who's next?
This is Larry from McKinney.
Hey, Larry McKinney.
The one thing that I had thought of talking about savings is a lot of times in this society, we seem to be, I got to have it now. When you see something that you want, think to yourself, do I really need this now? Put it off a day or two. See if you can live without it. If you can live without it, you've just saved that amount of money. And that's all I got to say.
Okay, well, I just realized something. That was a really cool comment. And yes, delaying gratification is a cool thing. But this is Larry McSween. Is that Larry McKinney? I missed it.
That's right. Larry from McKinney.
I thought I was talking to a new guy.
No worries.
Okay, thanks for the share. Star 6, what do you do to save money?
Elizabeth from Virginia.
Hi, lovely Elizabeth.
I can't help but share some of my experiences along the way. And when I first got married and before I had children, and while I had children, I had a AAA credit rating, bank account, a lot of money, lived in a mansion. But as I got to children, and I had all this wealth, and they kind of saw the wealth, and they wanted things, and you know you have so much love for your children that you want to do things for them. And so I remember when one finished high school, I got him a car. And then that was debt I was taking on, along with the other debt in this beautiful home. And all I can say is, along the way, I stopped realizing that you need to still save and you need to still take care of yourself, because you never know, that day may come when you want some things, some other things. And in the midst of the service, I realized the biggest advantage that I could have had, and I have to admit it, I spoiled my boys. Some of you right now are in the process, maybe, that you might start spoiling your children. And all I can say to you is, please don't. Make them work and appreciate the dollar and understand what it means. Because if not, thank God my children are doing okay and they're taking care of themselves. But so many times we see on Judge Judy or Judge Mathis, adults who are taking money from their parents to live, and adults who are letting their children live with them and just sap that very energy from them. So I can just simply say, learn how to say no, or learn how to say, get a job and pay for it by yourself, because I'm not doing that for you. You can do that. So, I mean, I don't know what I'm saying, whether it makes any sense, But
oh, thanks so much, Sam.
Sometimes you need, that's the lesson you need to learn, how to say no. You can do this yourself. I'll show you how to do it, but I'm not going to do it for you. And so that's my little bit of sharing this morning.
Elizabeth, I got to tell you that it's more important and more profound than you realize it is, because I honestly, in my heart of hearts, think it has to do with the greatness of our country. I think it has to do with how you build your future. You cannot dull somebody's instinct for survival, for thriving. Okay, there are things as parent, when you spoil somebody, you literally are killing their instinct to excel. You're killing their instinct to strive. And when you teach somebody to hustle, when you teach somebody that reward comes with hard work, you really give them the freedom to have anything they want in life. And I mean, it's so obvious. All you have to do is look at spoiled rich kids. They all end up ODing. They crash their cars off the side of the road. They don't value their life. They don't value the beauty and the wealth around them. And so it's really a sad thing to see. I really appreciate that comment, because I think it speaks to something very, very important in the way we move forward in life, really. If you want to teach your children well, that's important.
Hey, good morning.
Is that Michael Lynn?
It is.
Hey, Michael Lynn.
Hi. I want to talk a little bit about, you know, your kids and the spoiling thing, and maybe my girl, Marissa, she's 17, and maybe she's lucky because I don't get to spoil her that way. You know, she works hard, she's got a job, she's involved in school, and just, you know, awesome student, all of the things I'm so proud of her for. But two nights ago,
Michael Lynn, let me share the line for you real quick. Then. Okay, Michael Lynn, come back out. I'm sorry for that. It was a little rough in the background.
Oh, I'm back. You can hear me okay?
Yes, perfect.
Anyway, where I left off the other night, there's a girl that's been around a little bit, and seems like she's kind of going from place to place. She tells people that she was kicked out of her home and things like that, and, you know, because of whatever. So I feel for the girl, and so Marissa, I did bring her home the other night. I washed her clothes that were in a kind of a broken old Walmart bag, you know, fed her dinner, and slept in a beautiful bed. And in the morning, I took Marissa to school. And when I came back, she was getting ready and things like that. And someone came to pick her up, and come to find out she'd stolen the clothes that Marissa had worked really hard to buy, things that Marissa had wanted and saved and got the money together to do, and she stole money out of her purse. And I gave her it was really ugly. So, but the point is that the message really is that, you know, it's not really about the money. She's feeling violated, but she knows that it's going to come back. But the working hard and not being spoiled has taught her a lesson, and I tried to tell her that, you know, we probably should be like, as a matter of fact, that night I woke up in the middle of the night and was praying for her and asking, like, what can I do to help this girl? And nothing really came. But then that day when all this happened, it was really sad. But anyway, she's not spoiled.
That's
awesome. We're moving forward. Yeah.
And the truth of the matter is we can't really shield. You can only shield your kids to a certain degree, because in part of the brilliance, I think, of really growing into a happy, peaceful person is to not let it make you too sad. Like, okay, so I owned this $300,000 building, right? I owned it, and I was actually swindled out of it. That was a really good asset, and it's gone now. But the point of the matter isn't, can I hold a grudge? Can I, you know, blame the other person? That isn't the point, because in life there's always going to be Jekylls, hyenas that are scavengers, okay, because they don't understand money. They're always going to be looking to separate you from your money. So one of the really important lessons for me, I mean, this is personal, but I feel like when you can see that happening and not be sad, when you can see scavengers desperate for money doing what they do and realize that you're above that fray, and part of the lesson becomes, how could I have helped this person while not leaving them alone with my wallet? Okay? I mean, I say that because protecting your assets is just as important. You know, I mean, it's really, it's easier to have some money stolen out of your wallet than to have a commercial building stolen out from under you. Okay? But either way, you have to learn the lesson. I had to learn the hard way. But I'm not bitter, because what I walked away with is the knowledge that I do make my own gravy. I can create any level of value. I can earn as much as I'm willing to grow. Okay, I can generate as much income as my discipline and my vision will allow me to. And learning to protect my assets, invest them wisely, and keep other people away from them, that's part of being wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously.
We didn't know we couldn't trust her. We didn't know that
it was a risk that maybe in the future she would handle that decision. Like, oftentimes your yearning to help can be your downfall. And it isn't to say you shouldn't help people. It's to say, how can I be generous and kind without putting myself or my assets at risk? That is part of being like a wise person. So that can be a really powerful lesson for y'all. And I'm glad that she is close enough to you to like share that experience and allow you to have an input, because if she hid it from you, you wouldn't even know, and she would just be sulking around, and it would be sad, right?
Yeah, she doesn't hold back with me, that's for sure. Thanks, though.
Star 6, have you ever been swindled, and what did you learn? Have you ever saved something? Have you ever not protected your assets? Right? How did you learn about creating wealth more wisely? Come on out and share.
Hey, Mahara.
Hey, Laree.
Yeah, this is Laree. I want to tell you that experience I had last night. Just last night. I've been expecting for a while now a certain amount of money coming to me every month, and it hadn't came. Well, what happened last night is it finally showed up, and it wasn't what I was expecting. It was less than half of what I was expecting. But that money that I was expecting to begin with was just going to go into my savings account, period. So I thought, well, you know what? That's more money than I had to begin with to put in my savings account. So I finally accepted, yes, it's not what I wanted, but it's still money I wasn't expecting. So that's what I did. And I thought, wow, I got more than I thought.
You found a way to look at it positively, and that's important.
So I hope that helps others, you know, if that can help. I mean, it helps me.
Laree, it's really special because what you're saying is you found a way to have gratitude no matter what. And I love that. I love that about you. You have such a sweet spirit.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that. Star 6, who's next? We still got a few minutes left. About 3. Any last-minute thoughts on getting your mind right about money?
Hey, Mahara, it's Robin Hack again. I was just going to share one tidbit that I learned one time in a book about gratitude is, you know, most people dread paying their bills. And I was just taught that, you know, when you're paying your bill, be grateful that you have that bill. I mean, if you don't have that bill, you'd be in a world of hurt, you know, just paying your electric bill or your gas bill or your water bill, you know, be grateful for that service and be grateful that you have the ability to be paying it. And, you know, that all comes back when you're grateful for the money that you're giving out, you get money back in return. So just a little thought.
It's a really good thought because
Yeah, instead of being resentful, you're thinking, thank goodness for the heat they provided me. Thank goodness I have flowing water, right? Why begrudge paying a fair price, paying the market value for a service that you received? That's a really good point. And it really brings us back around to understanding all these different components of your wealth mindset. All of us have to clear across the board, work on everything from gratitude to belief to organized planning to the habit of saving. All of us can get better in different areas. And the more we bounce these ideas, the more we get excited about saving, the more we are grateful when we pay our bills. We get into the mindset. Wealthy people are generous, wonderful people. The wealthiest people I've known have given the most service. Now, there may be some, you know, crony people somewhere that are awful. And I know, I have met a wealthy, awful person too. But for the most part, what I'm telling you is that they will share their knowledge. And when you begin to notice that every time you study wealth, you hear some of the same advice, some of the same principles, even if it feels foreign, when you learn to internalize it, when you learn to say, okay, right now it doesn't feel normal to want to save this percentage of my money. Right now it's hard to feel grateful when I pay a bill, but you know the goal. You know the mindset. They're sharing it with you. This is the mindset that helps you move your position forward. Work on adapting it. Work on growing your thoughts. Work on being honest with yourself. How hard are you trying in this study towards greatness? How many books are you reading? How many people are you masterminding with? Do you meditate for a few minutes? Do you write down your goals? All of these things are blessings, and you guys, I got to share it with you. You inspire me and make me want to be in the fight every day of my life. I appreciate everyone on this call so very much. It's a gift that you give when you come and share your energy here, and I love you. Be wise. Think good thoughts. Be sure to get in our Facebook group and share any thoughts you had about the call. And any thoughts you have about how you're going to take your savings to the next level, that's all for now. See you on Monday on the Think and Grow Rich call. Love you guys. Bye for now.
We love you too. We love you.
Great call, Mahara.
Yes, awesome.
Great call. We love you.
Great.
Yes.
Thank you.
Save money and buy assets.
Don't
save money and buy
children.
Assets.
Never give up.
Great call. I love you all. Have a great weekend.
Good luck.